This is KVNF's regional newscast for Thursday, July 1st. I'm Gavin Dahl. A road worker on the Little Blue Creek Canyon project along U.S. Highway 50 died Tuesday when a rock the size of a car came off the cliff and crushed the cab of his excavator. The Montrose Press reports Ricardo Batista, age 69, of Florissant, died on the scene. Emergency personnel responded to dig him out from under the rock, which weighed several tons. The accident is still under investigation. The Colorado Department of Transportation is suspending work for the holiday weekend. The massive two-year project will be open for two-way traffic from noon on Friday through Tuesday morning. On Monday, Governor Jared Polis signed a bill into law that officially bans Native American mascots in Colorado public schools. Montrose High School and Centennial Middle School are among two dozen statewide that must spend considerable money to overhaul signs, uniforms, and regalia by next summer. The Montrose Press reports MCSD Superintendent Carrie Stevenson is now estimating the transition to a new mascot may cost between $500,000 and $800,000 to the district. Schools are eligible to apply for a state-funded grant to offset those costs. Activists have called to change the mascot in Montrose for two decades. These demands intensified last year in the wave of nationwide reckoning with systemic racism. The 12,000-plus acre Oil Springs fire south of Rangeley has calmed down considerably this week thanks to much-needed rain, the hard work of local fire protection crews, plus more than 300 federal firefighting personnel, and a bit of luck. But things didn't look quite so positive last week as exceptional drought conditions and heavy winds fueled extreme fire behavior that forced emergency evacuations, power shutoffs, road closures, and threatened a large natural gas processing facility. Lucas Turner from the Rio Blanco Herald Times newspaper produced a feature for KVNF about the scary situation.
It's business as usual at Colorado Northwestern Community College campus in Rangeley, Colorado, at least as far as the landscaping goes. As for everything else happening on the campus, well, it's not exactly what a prospective student might expect if they were to show up for a visit. Parking spaces are mostly filled with government vehicles, and the surrounding areas host trailers for food, sanitation, supplies, and showers. At the base of the student dorms, hundreds of tents cover the grass, temporary shelters for many of the over 400 federal firefighting personnel called to the west end of Rio Blanco County to fight the Oil Springs fire, about 15 to 20 miles south of the CNCC campus.
Usually fire season doesn't really start. The bigger ones usually don't start until after the 4th of July. So here we are on number 3.
That's Rio Blanco County Sheriff Anthony Mazzola. He explains that the ongoing fire, fortunately mitigated by recent and much-needed precipitation events, is the third in the county this year, though the first two were quickly snuffed out by local fire protection crews. Unlike the first two fires in RBC this year, the Oil Springs fire has posed a far more dangerous threat. Originally sparked by lightning on June 18th, the fire burned a few hundred acres of dry vegetation in 2 days, but remained manageable at a local level. Then the wind picked up.
The fire literally blew up. It went from several hundred acres to, I think, almost 5,000 acres. One of the BLM firefighters, local BLM firefighters that have been doing this for a long time, says he hasn't seen fire do this. He's like, this was crazy.
The wind that drove the first rapid expansion of the Oil Springs fire also lit a spot fire 6 miles ahead of the direction it was pushing to the east, prompting emergency evacuations, power shutoffs, and the closure of Highway 139. Rio Blanco County Emergency and Natural Resources Manager Eddie Smersina, who assisted with firefighting efforts that night, describes being caught in the middle of thick smoke.
You essentially had to remember where your vehicle was sitting, and then as that smoke came in and just nailed you, I mean, you can't see or breathe.
Right.
Then you just try to basically walk blind back to your vehicle to get out of it.
Mazzola noted how much of a factor the smoke played in prompting the highway closure.
You couldn't even see your vehicle 15, 20 feet away because the smoke was so bad.
Wow.
Because you can just imagine if we had not shut the highway down and we got public coming through, now we're going to be dealing with crashes and all that.
The east-moving expansion of the fire Sunday night also motivated first responders to call in federal help.
That's when the decision was made, we need to get a team in here and get some help, because this is way beyond all of our local capabilities.
On Monday, June 21st, Great Basin Incident Management Team started arriving and officially took control of the fire on Tuesday, June 20th. That night, it blew up again, driven by wind to the north, moving more than 5 miles and burning another 5,000 acres in just a few hours. The flames also pushed directly toward one large and potentially very explosive target, the Dragon Trail Natural Gas Plant, owned and operated by Utah Gas Corp. The gas plant, which processes tens of millions of cubic feet of natural gas per day before it gets shipped out by pipeline, quickly became the main focus of fire suppression efforts as the flames moved toward it.
The absolute worst case scenario is the fire's coming, they hit the buttons, do an emergency shutdown, and leave, and there's still product inside the plant that has potential of igniting. So that's the worst case scenario.
Fortunately, that worst case scenario did not happen, and the plant is no longer threatened by a rapidly moving wildfire. Utah Gas Corp operations manager Ronnie Plummer says preparing for events like these is an annual mitigation effort, which primarily involves keeping infrastructure like well pads and compressor stations free of vegetation that could increase the chance of ignition.
We have everything sprayed inside our fence. I mean, we do everything possible because we know this country. Mm-hmm. Catch fire anytime. So that's why you see very few of the locations actually catch fire.
Plummer also says the threat of fire is always on the minds of operators, noting how the nature of oil and gas extraction activities can be helpful for fighting wildfires. For example, he says oil-filled workers are often the first to spot and call in new fire activity since they work in remote locations. Additionally, oil and gas extraction logistics can sometimes put operators in a good position to assist with firefighting efforts as needed, including on the oil springs fire.
Our guys, because they were so shorthanded, helped set up the sprinkler system. We, as Utah Gas, hauled in four different tanks. It's 1,800 barrels of water we hauled out there the first day for them to use, not just to protect the plant, but everything around.
RBC Sheriff Anthony Mazzola estimated that the fire came within about 1 mile of the gas plant, which he says processes around 30 million cubic feet of compressed gas each day. He explains how the threat to the plant increased the priority level for federal resources to be allocated, despite those resources being spread thin due to other large fires in the region. Mother Nature, despite her initial wrath, also offered cooling temperatures and rain to northwestern Colorado earlier this week, tempering the fire and allowing crews to double containment from 30% on Tuesday, June 28th, to nearly 60% on Wednesday. But with rain comes lightning and the potential for new fires crop up.
Oh, probably isn't the best place to be either. So,
Sheriff Mazzola says he's optimistic about the state of the Oil Springs fire despite the chaos last week, though he adds he won't be planning any personal trips out of Rio Blanco County until the fire season is over, which, if drought conditions persist, will be with us well beyond the summer of 2021. For KVNF News, I'm Lucas Turner.
That does it for Thursday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.